Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Back! Vic Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown! Oh, my goodness!
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell live inside of the Kia Studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Tomorrow is the day where the NFL's official new league year begins, and deals have been put in place and will become official tomorrow. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, we've been talking about it all day with you at 404-741-0929. Craig behind the glass, AT, our executive producer here. Mike Bell, you know my mood today. You know where I'm at. I'm looking around the league and I'm seeing all of this activity, all of this movement. Some teams keeping their own, like the Saints with Breeze, we'll get to in a minute. Other teams making moves to go improve what they already have. Meanwhile, Falcons not doing anything.
What did Coach say in Hoosiers? My team's on the floor. Now we've got some moves to be made. Again, a lot of guys that are Falcon fans and ladies in their car. We think we got to beef up the guard position. We think we got to go find a defensive tackle. I know we got to do. Now, you can do that through the draft. You don't have to do it through free agency. I trust Dan Quinn in evaluating some of the defensive free agents. But we can't really do anything. We are hamstrung in the sense that we've got, $17 million under the cap. You've got to sign your draft class, emergency money for injuries, et cetera. You've still got to get Matt's deal done. That's been the theme all day long. So, yes, frustrating as heck to see a guy like Jimmy Graham, who, of course, is a name brand, is a tall human being that catches passes in the red zone at the tight end position, which is exactly what we need. But they believe in Hooper. So that's a non-starter. We're going to go get a blocking tight end. We'll probably get a guy like an Ed Dixon, you know, a former Carolina Panther. So I know what you're saying, brother. We wanted to keep Taylor Gabriel. We couldn't afford to pay what they're going to pay in Chicago. As Turbo, who joined us a few weeks back, is going to sign with the Bears. And then you see the guy that you really wanted, Norwell, the guard from Carolina.
Huge
deal. The richest guard contract in NFL history to go down and play for Jacksonville.
And this was my fear with him being – and, guys, this is what happened with Alex Mack a few years ago. When we went and signed Alex Mack, he got the most money of any center, okay? When you are in demand and a team feels like that's the missing piece right. for Jacksonville, they feel like Norwell's the missing piece. We also feel like that, but that's Mike and I. The Falcons up in the brass up at Flowery Branch, Thomas and DQ, maybe in the film room laughing at us going, they're not seeing what we're seeing with Switzer. Switzer's a baller. He's going to be much better in year two. We're rolling with this. We got Lavitre signed, coming back to restructure. We're going to be fine. I know a lot of Falcon fans today are saying, Dukes, calm down. I'm getting it on Twitter. I put him up, see Dukes saying, hey, relax. We are good. Well, guys, if we're that good and if we're that close, why didn't we finish the deal this year? If we're okay,
right.
All right, that is my question to you. And for everybody who goes, well, wait a minute. Don't get me wrong here. I think we got a good team. Mike and I have said this. We are close. But close and finishing the deal are two different things.
Well, look, we had enough talent to go back. We had enough talent to go back to the Super Bowl. We didn't make the plays, you know. We're not going to rehash everything that was blown in the Philadelphia game. We've talked about that till we're blue in the face. We just didn't make enough plays, okay? So we've got the talent. What do we need? I feel we got to get better than Switzer at guard. I think Dan Quinn, if you're right, try to read between the lines what he said in that final end-of-season interview.
He's a competitor.
It was Rick and John. But then again, he didn't have a lot of pelts on the wall. You know what I mean? So I still think they're looking to upgrade. I think in any team in the NFL, you look to upgrade all positions in the offseason, right?
You don't sit there and stand pat.
We're going to have competition, more competition in the offensive line. I think Garland serves a good purpose. I thought it was a bit rich to do a second-round tender on him, but they're going to keep Garland, which is cool. Ricardo Allen does a lot for this defense. But you got to go get a DT and a guard. That can be addressed in the draft. You know, and then again, maybe they've got a master plan, which will then swing into action once Ryan signs his deal. The question is, how big is Ryan's contract going to get as far as guaranteed money on the heels of with a report about Kirk Cousins in Minnesota?
Well, it's a great question. And guys, if you're just joining us today, as we said, a lot of movement. I think none bigger than Cousins going to new to the Vikings. He reportedly is going to sign a 3-year deal there with the deal being fully guaranteed. Now, it's only a 3-year deal, but it's $84 million.
Okay? NFL Network has now bounced up to $86 million. So anyway.
So that's now you're talking about 29 right. a year, okay? Mm-hmm. Remember, we were losing our minds a few weeks back when Garoppolo signed his deal, and we were going 27, and this guy's only started seven games.
Right.
Cousins is a proven commodity. The thing for the Vikings, and this is what's interesting, and apparently Cousins is going to be in the building tomorrow. They don't want him to leave. That's why this deal is out there. They know what they're trying to offer him. And if he leaves, then he's probably not going to be a Viking. My guess is he doesn't, but reports are he's going to sign with them. Either way, Mike, the Vikings have moved on from basically all three quarterbacks that helped them get to an NFC Championship game. Case Keenum, all right, is going to Denver. Sam Bradford, ironically, is going to Arizona.
Yeah, and now they may still be more of an end game there via the drafted quarterback, but who trusts Sam Bradford? We said this earlier. No disrespect to Sam. He's one of the last $50 million men, first-round guaranteed money guys. But how do you, as a Cardinals fan, what is your expectation? Eight games? Nine games? He's Maybe. Mr. Glass, man.
Yeah, always hurt. And Teddy Bridgewater is going to the Jets. So all three of those guys, basically the Vikings brass said, we don't trust any of them. But we want to bring in a guy that we do think can take us to the promised land.
Right.
That is Kirk Cousins. So he's going to get a big deal. Now back to where it goes with us. Matt's better. And Matt's going to get more.
Right.
So if you're saying, all right, well, what's that look like? Well, it's going to look like 28 or 29 million because Drew Brees signs basically a 2-year deal at $50 million with 27 million being guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
The way I view that is they signed him for 1 year this next season based on the going rate of the top quarterbacks in the league. And yes, that doesn't mean that he won't be back for that second year, but this year is 27 million guaranteed. So you're basically saying, Brees, we're going to sign you for 1 year, pay you what the going rate is for the top guys, and take care of you. And obviously, if you want to come back, that second year there is there. But this helps them with the cap because it's not a long, drawn-out deal.
Right.
And the Saints still have various needs.
And then ESPN.com reporting that Kirk Cousins, about to get that deal, but that Drew Brees left $10 million on the table. And
good lord.
The mystery team, and everyone's trying to read between the lines, everyone's assuming it's the Minnesota Vikings that were putting that deal together because Drew Brees, as it was well-documented, wanted to stay in New Orleans, is very happy to do that. And they also, the way the contract is structured with Brees, gives him the flexibility to do some other things, bring a quarterback in along the draft, et cetera. The team, which I'm impressed by today, a couple of things. You got the Bears. They went and picked up Allen Robinson, former Jaguar. They go pick up Trey Burton.
Had more touchdowns, by the way, than any other receiver in the league during the regular season.
Trey Burton, a bunch of touchdowns behind Zach Ertz with the Eagles. And then they go get Turbo for the slot. So the Bears, you know, whatever Mitch Trubisky is going to be, they're giving him some weapons to see what he can be. You know, much like you saw what the Rams were doing along with Goff last season.
Now, we talked about Jimmy Graham just briefly. Mike mentioned it. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. As we talk about free agency, it is brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, pretty good deal this week, guys. Buy one, get one. Go to Domino's. It's for carryout. Get all the details at Domino's.com. Don't forget those bread twists and get that carryout insurance in case you're a klutz. Domino's.com.
Packers add Jimmy Graham, but they cut Jordy Nelson, which has social media on buzz right now because everybody's like, what? Jordy Nelson, what's wrong with him? I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with him, but he's 32. And now people are asking us, as we said before the top of the hour, mm-hmm. you know, does he fit with us potentially as a slot guy? Number one, I don't know. I wouldn't tell you that he wouldn't, but I do know this. Jordy Nelson has proven himself over the years. He can catch the rock.
Now, again, is he going to be like, a KG veteran receiver that can stay healthy for you? Because you're right. He played in a bunch of games. He was banged up, not as effective. I can't tell if it's drops or missed throws, but it wasn't the reception completions that you've seen in the past for the guy, but he still got in the end zone 6 times. Jordy Nelson got 6 touchdowns last year. So here's the thing. How about Jordy Nelson? Couldn't you just see in your mind's eye the Patriots going and grabbing a guy like Jordy Nelson
sure.
on a 1 year, you know, 2 year deal, but basically come down to one? Danny Amendola, by the way, that catches the touchdown to send the Patriots to the Super Bowl, he goes to Miami. So Miami completely changing the culture, moving guys that they thought were bad fits. So eventually they'll maybe go draft a wide receiver, but Danny Amendola becomes a Dolphin.
Now let's talk about that for a second, Mike, as we discuss, you know, free agency and fit, because that's a big part of this. If you go back and you think about what the Miami Dolphins did a few years ago, especially when they signed Ndamukong Suh, the idea was they were going to go out and sign the best free agents and go win a Super Bowl.
Right.
They didn't come close. But also what they did was they dismantled whatever a semblance of a locker room, a quality locker room that they had when you bring in Sue, who was a knucklehead, right? And then you bring in other guys who don't want to listen, which, you know, we talked about this all year. Why do you get rid of a guy like Jay Ajayi? I had heard from my sources down there, had problems with the playbook, didn't pick it up well, was missing blocks even when they played us. Nevertheless, he gets shipped off, goes to the Eagles, they win the Super Bowl. But now you get rid of Jarvis Landry, who was a beast at wide receiver. And you're going, right. Why are you moving all these pieces? fit is also a big part of this. Now, I get it. I want my team to go get the best guys, but that doesn't always mean it's going to work.
That's the thing Armando Salguero was saying. Basically, you got a bunch of guys in that locker room basically M-blanking Adam Gase behind his back. So that's not good, trying to get the vibe going. Because remember, when they got off to the good start, the talk was, oh, Adam Gase, things are cooking now, 2 years ago. Anyway, they move on from those guys. Amendola comes down. Timmons got cut as well, that had his own issues off the field. It's frustrating because I know Falcon fans, you recognize these name brands. You know, Jimmy Graham is a name brand. And you say, well, hey, can we get that? There's just not the space. And what really frustrates us is you see the Eagles, and these are not, you know, are these over-the-top rock star moves? But they're good moves. Michael Bennett, Haloti Ngata, I know he's older, he's 34, but they're rolling the dice to beef up their defense. And that's the team that beat us and got to the Super Bowl and won it.
Their defensive line, it may be the best in the league prior to getting these two guys. And now I think their depth and the way that they can play and rotate guys in and out and the flexibility they have on their defensive line, I don't even think it's close. 404-741-0929 if you want to chime in. That's on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, or you can call as well. Darren Eels is going to join us coming up at 520, making his weekly visit by the show as we talk Atlanta United. Big victory Sunday. We look ahead to this next week's match on the pitch, and we'll find out what Darren is thinking. I thought the adjustments by Tata were great. We'll get into all of that coming up in about 15 minutes.
Now, let me ask you this. We've been going round and round on this, and we've been having fun because I know we're frustrated. We're seeing the text and going,
man, you're damn right I am.
You know, I know you feel like you're sitting there at the corner waiting for a taxi. They just keep blowing by you. You know, there's people in those cabs, and we're not. Where's our ride, man? Where's the big dude? Here's the thing. When we get the deal done, and let me ask you this: do you think we'll get Matt's deal done in the next 48 hours?
I'm not counting on it.
Because if Matt's deal doesn't get done until the camp starts, then there's no way we're going to get any semblance of any of these other big guys that you guys covet as far as free agency, which maybe never, ever was part of our grand design. And perhaps Don Terry Poe finds out the market for him is even slimmer than it was last year, and we get Don Terry Poe back for the same or less money. And I'm fine with that. Then I got that taken care of. You know, go beef up the offensive line.
Well, a lot of these in-demand free agents is what you're seeing now. That's done in the first 3 to 5 days. So if you don't hear Don Terry Poe's name in the next few days, go on into the weekend, and you're like, well, where is he signing? What's going on? The market is not what they thought it was. That doesn't mean he may not sign somewhere else. But, Mike, if you have value, you're gone. That's what you're seeing right now. With guys that are being scooped up and deals being negotiated, Jimmy Graham, there's value. So there's no wait. He's got choices and options. Why are we not hearing Don Terry Poe's name? It's not that he's not good, but maybe, as you said, the marketplace for his position is maybe not what we think it is. Either way, I invite that. I would like to have Don Terry Poe back if it works out.
Right.
But to answer your question about Matt, no, I have no confidence that it's going to get done in the next 48 hours. The Breeze deal had a timetable. They were going
to
take an $18 million cap hit minus the new contract. That's just way too much money to deal with at the quarterback position. So they had until tomorrow, actually midnight, to get the deal done. That's why that deal got done.
Now, again, for the 50th time, I will say today to remind our listeners that are still texting and hitting us up on Twitter, the reason why Matt's deal would be advantageous, even though it would be the biggest deal in NFL history, is you can guarantee more money up front, and that lessens the cap hit, which then allows us to have more space to go get the guys that you want. Who's the guy you want right now, by the way? Since everyone else is getting taken. Who's the guy in the free agent list that you want right now?
Well, listen, I think that we're going to draft a defensive tackle because I think Dan Quinn is like rubbing his fingers or his hands together and going, this is a deep draft. Give me two or three of these guys and we'll be fine, all right? There's a chance, guys, Deron Payne could be there when we pick.
Right.
All right? Even if you don't get Vita Vea. I think you need to go address the guard spot, if that's your main concern, Mike, in free agency. I need a guy that can play right now. I don't need to develop anybody else. We just drafted Sean Harlow.
Right.
What is he? Did he play last year? Did he show us anything?
No, we're going to see about that. Now, Sheldon Richardson's a guy that's name's come up. Muhammad Wilkerson, remember his mama? She says he's just misunderstood. So we'll find out.
And the big defensive tackle. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that even fits remotely to what Dan Quinn wants to do. But, hey, it's tough. It's frustrating.
We're not doing enough.
Carl, you've just got to be patient. Let's give the folks some money, brother.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Mars. I'll be on Mars. M-A-R-S. All right, text it to 72881, 72881 right now. When the Falcons finally make moves.
Right.
I'll be on Mars.
Trust in Dan Quinn. You know why? He's a big fan of Mars. The God of War, Carl. Mars, M-A-R-S. Mars to 72881. Where are cactuses being made? Somewhere on Mars right now. 72881-MARS. Send that right in. And good luck, man. Answer the phone. You get yourself a grand.
All right. I want you to marinate on what we've talked about. Falcon fans, we're going to take your calls here in about 10 minutes. Once we get done talking with Darren Eales, we're going to open up the phone lines and just let you tell us what you think. Maybe you're like, chill, man. Or maybe you're like me, a little bit uneasy about the way things are rolling right now.
Mercedes-Benz, by the way, the roof is open today. We're getting some spy reports, and certainly was open for business on Sunday for United. We'll talk to Darren next.
It was more us getting back to how we want to play, getting back to the up-tempo and high intensity, kind of getting after teams and putting them on the back foot.
He's big. He's bald.
He's a blank and wall. That's Brad Guzan right there.
It was, and he's right. Getting back to playing how we needed to play. It is Dukes and Bell joining us in studio, as he does on a weekly basis. Darren Eales, who is our Atlanta United president, and we're going to talk with him. Coming up, we'll take your thoughts and phone calls about the Falcons. Free agency continues. By the way, Jordy Nelson says he wants to continue to play. He turns 33 in May for those Falcon fans who were talking about that. All right, Darren, first and foremost, congratulations on an amazing experience and, again, selling out Mercedes-Benz. I think Mike and I both just went, wow.
Yeah, afternoon, guys. That was a little bit better, wasn't it, this week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, on the pitch, it was a much better performance. And obviously, off the pitch, the Atlanta United fans, again, just amazed us. 72,035. So it's the fourth biggest game again in the world. Biggest ever in MLS history. Third time now that we've broken the record. But it was absolutely jammed. I mean, Mike, I know you were at the game. I mean, in terms of when Miggy scored that second, the whole place went nuts. That camera shot when it backs out and pans away and you just see the whole crowd going nuts is reverberating around the world. That's a sort of, you know, it's a talk of world football that we're getting this many fans in on a consistent basis.
It was great, man. Carl and I jumped on board with tickets from the jump. You should too, guys. Now, here's the thing. Now it's not the easiest ticket to get. We'll talk more about that coming up. You can vote, by the way, for Miggy's goal as the goal of the week on the go to ATL UTD, by the way, and vote. He's got 55% of the vote.
Yeah, this is funny. I mean, we won every single vote last year whenever any of our players got on it. And so they tried to change the rules this year. So you can only vote one time, but we're still crushing it.
Now, speaking of Almiron, he's got a friendly he's going to play in. What's the situation there?
Yeah, so we've got a FIFA international break coming up after our game against Vancouver. There's a bye week. Now, for us, the good news about Miggy is that it's being played in Cary, North Carolina, so he hasn't got to go all the way to South America. But they're actually playing against the American national team, so that'll be an interesting game. But that's the time where, I don't know if you guys remember, last year we had Joseph Martinez got injured on international break. So
he's playing on a cow pasture, it looked like.
Yeah, I mean,
the field wasn't up to snuff.
That 2 weeks, you're just sitting there, I'm praying every night, just hoping that the guys get back fit, because that's all you want to happen.
Darren Eales is with us, guys, president of Atlanta United FC, again now 1-1. And we get Vancouver coming up. St. Patrick's Day night is going to be a blast. Real quick, speaking of injuries, how is Ezekiel Barco coming along with the quad?
Yeah, he's doing good. I mean, look, he's a young lad. He's hopefully going to heal quickly, but we don't want to rush things. So we're going to rest it, make sure that when he comes back, he's 100%. But obviously, it was his first game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He got to be in the changing room with the players and, you know, got to feel the atmosphere. So he just can't wait to get out there.
Did you get any reaction from him?
I mean, he's obviously gutted because he's a player and he wants to be out there. But you think about some of that space in the second half that was out there and you add in Ezekiel Barco to the mix. It just... It does make you sort of lick your lips in anticipation.
Now, I love the adjustments Tata made going from the Houston game to this game. What did you make of it? Obviously, they worked, but I just felt like our attacking style, it was really present early on. I mean, they got one shot on goal basically in the first half. It just felt like this was the team we were watching at the end of last season.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was night and day, wasn't it, from Houston? And part of the credit there obviously goes to Tata. He set the team out perfectly. And to be honest, I mean, we totally dominated. The fear I had after 20 minutes was it going to be one of those days like we've had against DC before where we don't score and then they nick one on the break. But once we got that goal, it really was one-way traffic. And I think, you know, it was credit to the players as well because, you know, they knew it was disappointing the week before and they came out and showed our fans at home, you know, what Atlanta United football is all about.
Tito Villalba setting up. And again, it all started with Darlington Nagbe because I'm sitting here in the stands going, all right, when am I going to see some of this Nagbe magic? And then Nagbe gets it to Tito and then a beautiful service or cross over to Joseph Martinez for the goal. That's what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, right? I mean, look, that was classic, wasn't it? Atlanta United attacking football. And Darlington, I thought, had a great game, not only just with that pass for the goal, but the way that he was sort of covering the field to be able to block the channels. He did a lot of running on the defensive side, which sometimes doesn't get noticed. But, you know, he's so comfortable on the ball and on turf. He's used to playing on that from Portland. You know, he's going to just be, I think, increasingly influential as the season goes on, as he gets used to the players.
Now, we had a chance to visit with Parkhurst during the preseason, and obviously he didn't play a whole lot. He was anxious to get back out there. He looked really good to me, too. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, he had a pipe and slippers, didn't he, first half? And he was just literally out there just directing traffic. I mean, he's brilliant at the defending, but again, he stepped in when he had to and put some great passes. I mean, he's just experienced, and I think, you know, that's probably a presence that we don't give him credit for, the way that he just calms that whole defense down. And, right, you know, it was just a consummate performance from him on the weekend.
That's a phrase we got to get Wes to use. If the offensive line for the Falcons is better this year and Matt has more time, look, pipe and slippers for Matt Ryan back there. Carl, before he throws it to Julio. Darren Eales is with us, the president of your Atlanta United FC. Great win. So much fun. And also, hats off to a guy who's not 100%, but he gave it the effort, Leandro Gonzalez-Pires.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's a warrior, so he was always going to play that game. But, you know, he played through the pain. And again, I think it was, you know, it was just good to see all of the guys back. I mean, they all had a collective stinker the week before, and it was just good to see everyone back to normal and that sort of soccer that we're used to seeing with Atlanta United playing.
Now, a little tougher task coming up this weekend. Vancouver's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's going to look a little different. I just think they're a much better team than what we saw with DC United. You know, they've got a lot of stuff to still figure out. Vancouver, they're coming in, a couple of wins under their belt.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're unbeaten. They've won, you know, 100% record. They beat us last year when we played up in Vancouver. You know, I think it's going to be a good test for us. No, you know, no different from DC, and we had the bogey team with us last year. I think it's good for us to have Vancouver this early because hopefully we can sort of show that we learned from last year. But look, we know what they're going to be about. They're a tall team. They've got Kai Kamara up front who can, you know, just jumps up very high, scores a lot of goals with headers. You know, we know that we have to work hard at defending set pieces. They're going to be coming at us every chance they get. But everyone's got to do their bit. And then if we can nick a goal early, hopefully that's something where we can take advantage.
We'll be talking Falcons, guys, taking your calls about free agency. Carl is upset. There's no action. Coming up here on Dukes and Belvin.
We're not doing enough.
Our weekly visit with Darren Eales, who so far, knock wood, pushing all the right buttons. It's to Carl's point. There's just nothing we can do. We're built for speed. Unless they won't let you play with stilts on those set pieces. That's where we almost gave up a sneaky, sloppy goal at the end of the first half.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think the thing about set pieces, though, is you've got to work for the ball. Even if you're not the height, you can put a challenge in and put someone off. So I think that's obviously what Tata's been working with on the lads, on making sure that they're going to be up there ready to do the sort of defending. Even if you can't quite get on it, you want to stop the player getting to it.
Now, the rules, and I'm just curious, because today's a big free agency day. I know you've listened a little bit to our show, and we appreciate that. But, you know, the rules for soccer and the international play, obviously a little bit different. But does it fascinate you how the NFL works with guys moving and teams making moves the way they do? Because I know all these executives, including yourself, you pay attention to this other stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying listening to the show today because we have the transfer window in England, which is, you know, it's around the world, but it's a day when you have to get your deals done. And today, Carl, you just sound like all the fans of Tottenham whenever I was there. We could never do enough business. Didn't matter who we signed, there was another player out there. Or it's just like, West Ham have signed three players. Arsenal have got these two players. Why aren't we doing anything? So it's great to hear that it doesn't matter what the sport is.
That's
everyone's
right.
Got that view.
Everybody wants to win.
But that's the thing. Imagine, but that's just your league. You could talk to a team from Italy. You could talk to a team from Spain to get the deal done.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I'll quickly share with you guys my very first transfer window at Tottenham Hotspur. I joined literally 3 weeks before the transfer deadline, and it was 45 minutes. I've still got the message from Daniel Levy, who was the owner at the time of Tottenham, saying, what about Rafa van der Vaart at the time, who was a top player who was playing at Real Madrid? And I was like, well, 45 minutes, there's no chance. We can't do a medical. And we signed the player. The next day, I had to go to a hearing with the Premier League because there was an inquiry about the delay in getting the paperwork in.
Oh,
we'd had an electricity problem that had caused the delay, and I had to sort of give evidence, but we ended up doing the deal the next day. But that was for me a baptism of fire.
Take us behind the scenes, because listen, the same kind of things, guys, are going on in the NFL. I mean, you know, when we talk about these deals being done, the initial phone call is, right, it's kind of a fill-out period. Like, is he interested? Would they be interested? What's it going to take? But these things can happen fairly quickly, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's no different. I mean, soccer is a little bit more international than the NFL, but, you know, the number of deals I've done where I've had a player that I wanted, but I've rung up the club, I've perhaps talked about three other players, hoping that they mention the one I want so that you can then say, well, we might package him in a deal. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about contacts, because if you don't have those contacts, you've got to wait for a deal to happen, and that just never really takes place.
Was the Nagby deal difficult now that it's been done and he's with us?
It wasn't difficult. I mean, we were surprised. I mean, I think I mentioned this before. We never assumed that he would ever be on the sort of trading block, and he was. And, you know, we ended up being creative. The number that came out publicly was a number to help Portland because, you know, the big number, 1.6, has so many different contingencies on it that, you know, if it ends up happening, then, you know, Nagby's going to be the, you know, the biggest player in the world. So, but, you know, sometimes you don't mind doing that because you want to get the player. So you're happy if they need to win the PR battle, you'll let them do that. I did it with Gareth Bale when I was at Tottenham. You know, in the end, we had to manufacture a number so that Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't upset in the dressing room in Real Madrid because he wanted to be the highest paid player. So these things, sometimes you're doing stuff because the other team wants it and you're trying to facilitate the deal.
Was Gareth's agent Welsh? Could you understand what he was saying?
Yeah. No, his agent's a very wealthy Londoner.
So Moneyball, there you go, a little Moneyball behind the curtain
for
soccer. That's pretty cool, man. So we got Vancouver, the little break we talked about. I mean, the All-Star game, I know I've got my tickets, we got ours. Is the All-Star game sold out yet?
Not sold out yet, but it'll be it's certainly gonna be a sellout. I mean, obviously we're excited. 1st of August, and they're looking to try and announce the team by the end of this month, so that'll be exciting, because knowing the history of MLS, it's going to be a big Champions League club, and there'll be a chance for fans to not only see those players play but also the best and cream of the crop of MLS. And obviously Tata's gonna be coaching it, so we'll be I'm sure there'll be a few Atlanta United players in the team.
7:30, guys. This Saturday is going to be lit at Mercedes-Benz.
Pace yourself.
And yeah, that's what we've been preaching it, Darren. Pace yourself so you can make yourself, you know, be aware when you come into the stadium. Mm-hmm. But Darren, always a pleasure to talk with you. That's great info there from one of the top executives in the business, man, giving you some background. So what's going on today in the NFL? We'll continue that conversation with you at 404-741-0929. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you feel just fine about the way things are going.
Carl, patience. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Now, we had a chance to visit with Parkhurst. He looked really good to me, too. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, he had a pipe and slippers, didn't he, first half? And he was just literally out there just directing traffic.
All right, Falcon fans, it's your opportunity to talk to us at 404-741-0929. You can call in. You can say, be cool, which is something I've heard a lot today.
Chill that Dukes out.
If, you know, you want to do that, or you can say, listen, Dukes, I'm with you. We're not doing enough. Guys, I'm all about getting to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm all about getting over the hump in which we could not overcome last year. And guess what? A lot of it was self, you know.
Inflicted.
It really was, Mike, because you talk about not being able to move the ball on third downs, third and shorts, fourth and ones, whatever it was. Red zone, drop balls. We can go on and on. But I said today earlier in the program, there's a lot of wishing and hoping going on. You know, we're wishing and hoping Schweitzer's going to be better. Wishing and hoping the play call is going to be better. Wishing and hoping the guys catch the ball. Wishing and hoping the tight end play is going to be better. Wishing and hoping. 404-741-0929. Where you at?
Hey, Mike. Arthur.
Be cool, honey bunny. Be cool.
You sound like a Tyler Perry play, didn't it? Wishing and hoping. Coming to the Atlanta Civic Center.
No, he can just never have to attend a meeting prior to a show again. He's been out of control.
There's a lot of wishing and hoping going on, AT. You know I'm right. Where are our Falcons going with this?
Moesha joins the cast of Wishing and Hoping, coming to the Atlanta Civic Center.
Did you say Moesha?
Presented by Tyler Perry.
That's what I'm saying right now. And everybody that's saying, here's the deal. What was the guy that called in earlier? And I love him. He called in earlier, Mike, and he goes, oh, you guys are just stirring it up. Although I do think we need a guard and a defensive tackle and a tight end. Well, that's what we just said.
Join Shamar Moore in Wishing and Hoping. At the Atlanta Civic Center. Actually, he's on SWAT now. Back to you, Carl.
By the way, I've not watched any of that TV program. I just can't buy.
No, he's too
Shamar
sweet.
Moore as a captain of SWAT squad.
Yeah, not buying that one, man. He's too
time
pretty.
For the percolator.
Time for the percolator.
Now, earlier in the show, Carl was accused of percolating about the free agent drought for the Falcons. And again, it's not a drought, guys. We don't have the money yet. We got some money. They're not willing to spend it. Matt may get his deal done sooner than later. Then we'll have a little more money. But maybe, just maybe, Carl, we get Dontari Poe back. Or maybe going after free agents for guards or for D-tackle was never part of their game plan.
It may not have been. Let's talk to Fritz in Gainesville. Fritz, I can't be the only one feeling this way. What's going on? Hey, man.
Hey, man, guys. Hey, man. I mean, I was drinking something. I just threw it out the window. I mean, what are we doing, man? Jimmy Graham, really? Jimmy Graham, what are we doing, guys?
Jimmy Graham is starting for the Packers, by the way.
I cannot be happy right now. I cannot be laughing happy with your guys right now because I just don't know it now, man.
Hang in there, brother. It's always darkest before the dawn.
He's right. What are we doing? What are we doing? Fritz, you were right to spit on whatever you were drinking.
What was he drinking?
Who knows? He's in Gainesville.
Was it a...
Might have been brown liquor. Who knows?
Maybe it was a white Russian. I don't know. But anywho, the thing, if you missed it, Jimmy Graham signs with the Packers. They cut Jordy Nelson because he's getting older, and they want to make some cap space. Amendola goes down to Miami. You heard about all the quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins got a nice chunk of change. If it's reported now, an $86 million deal, Matt Ryan's contract will be obviously bigger than that. It won't be three. And Matt will not be signing for 3 years either, guys. It'll be a five-year deal.
Nope.
Brees had to do his the way he did because – they were up against it, the Saints, and they wanted to stay there. Drew Brees has no illusions about how far and how long his career is going to go. But you're basically getting him for almost one more year for $27 million.
Corey, you're up next. What's going on, Corey? Hey, man.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Well, good, man.
Hey, Dukes, man. I feel you. I've been sitting here all day. I'm looking at my phone, just scratching my hands, trying to figure out what they're doing.
What are we doing?
But I was thinking about a comment you said earlier, and where the Dolphins had, where they went and just, you know, hey, let's sign everybody who's good and hope we make it. Mm-hmm. You've seen that before with the Eagles, where they went out and got Nnamdi Asamoah, Mike Vick, DeSean Jackson, and that's not necessarily the best game plan. So it's not just driving me crazy.
Right.
I got to trust DQ, man. I got to trust him. I think he's going to be this to the promised land.
All right, man. Good stuff, Corey. Appreciate the phone call. You did bring genius.
Trust in Dan Quinn. Trust in the brotherhood, Carl.
Now, listen.
Do your research, man.
I'm trying. I'm trying, Thomas. That is the part in which, Corey, I do agree with you on. I do think Dan Quinn knows what he's doing. And I do trust that he is going to make the right decisions, especially when it comes to defense. If we draft a defensive tackle, I think that's going to be fine. It's a deep draft there. I think he's going to get the right guy if Poe ends up somewhere else. Okay, what are you doing? As Mike's been saying all offseason, beef up the guard. Beef up the guard.
Right.
What are we going to do there?
Well, Norwell went and got the biggest contract for a guard in NFL history to go down to Jacksonville. So, I mean, we think we got a handle on most of this stuff. We told you that guy was going to just be too cost prohibitive with the contract, and he would have been. So I don't know what they feel about Schweitzer. I still think that Dan Quinn wants to upgrade. I think he was, you know, going at that a boy to Schweitzer when he was asked about the O-line at the end of the season. He didn't throw the kid under the bus, but they got to get better. And whatever Pro Football Focus is smoking that thinks we're the second best offensive line.
Come on, man.
As I said earlier, you know, they're like theoretical physics, you know? Like, Arthur, you could hold an elephant on the tip of your finger, right, in some galaxy somewhere far away near a black hole or something.
That's theoretical physics, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're smoking, okay? Because we couldn't get a yard. We get the ball inside the five in the Superdome. We can't get a touchdown out of that because our offensive line's getting pushed back so much so we got to put Poe out there. So,
oh,
yes.
By the way, wishing and hoping for a fullback. Go ahead, Mike.
You're so salty today.
Wishing and hoping. This is what we're doing. Well, TJ, you're in the game with Dukes and Bell. What's up, TJ?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I wanted to comment on the guard position.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Recently, they had a $2.9 million tender second-round pick for Ben Garland and Ricardo Allen. So either they put the same kind of value for Ben Garland for being a backup center slash guard as Ricardo Allen, but Thomas Dimitroff, in years past, has never spent more than $3 million on a guard position. Chris Chester was Nate Reynolds before that. Mm-hmm. So either they're not even going to draft a guard in the first or second round. They're going to keep using Garland. They're going to cut Schweitzer. I don't know, man.
Well, remember, they did.
What are we doing?
They did inherit the Andy Levitre contract. We traded a six-rounder for Levitre before 2015. He just renegotiated his deal to take a ton of money off, which he needed to do.
TJ's right, though.
No, but this goes back. And this is why when guys always say, Mike, you're so critical about Dimitroff, he's great with wide receivers and defensive backs, not great in the trenches. Quinn has come in and has drafted defensive linemen and linebackers. He's done a fantastic job. Safeties like Keanu Neal. We've missed, and that's what's made it so cost prohibitive now in free agency, because we had to go pay Alex Mack money because we didn't have a center in house, right? We had to go pay Chester. We had to make the trade for Levitre because we didn't have these guys brought sort of organically, if you will, through the NFL draft.
I hope you guys heard what TJ said, and he's right. They placed the same second round tender on a backup swing guard that you did on a starting safety, which screams that, number one, Ben Garland's not going anywhere. Nobody's going to come in and give him a second-round pick. But number two, there it is again. You got Schweitzer and Ben Garland. Schweitzer's going to be the guy, and you got Garland backing him up, and you can play some other spots. That's what TJ's talking about.
Well, then you got a guy that we don't even know what. I don't even remember seeing Harlow with the first unit last year, but Sean Harlow was drafted in the fourth round out of Oregon State, and we don't know if he'll take that big leap. But how many guys, I mean, as a sixth rounder, have the impact? We got very lucky. Ryan Schrader was an undrafted agent out of Valdosta State.
Well, and
he's turned into a pretty good right tackle, so much we gave him that contract last year.
But listen, Grady Jarrett, a fifth round pick. Grady is balling out of control. We know he was probably misplaced in the draft. Probably should have been a third rounder. Either way, you're right when you're talking about fifth and sixth round picks. All right, Rick, we appreciate you holding on. Rick, what's going on? You're in the game with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, where you at?
Hey, man, look, I feel, man, on the decline, man. And I'm really kind of ticked with the NFL, how they're playing these quarterbacks.
There's really nothing we can do about that, though, Rick.
That's the going rate, my man.
There's nothing we can do about that.
Matt's not going anywhere. I mean, we can debate how this was handled, but this is the way the deal is going to go down. Matt's going to be the highest-paid player until Aaron Rodgers becomes that highest-paid player.
Hey, Malcolm Butler ends up with the Titans, guys. He leaves New England. He is going to be a cornerback for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, we'll go through all the big names and all the free agent action today. Again, it all starts tomorrow, but these are all news that have been leaked about where guys are going.
All right, stay there. Top three at 6. We'll get to all the top stories. And Gary Parrish breaking down the NCAA bracket with us and who he thinks the best player in the tournament is.
And also, the rumors about Thad Matta are heating up. If he is going to be the guy, we'll ask Gary, is Thad Matta the right guy for Georgia?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.